devil's advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. John, he was just messing with you a little. I got a fine guest. He's sticking around. John Nichols. John, I hope you're not still talking, man. I had to cut you off going into break. You can talk as long as you want up to 8 minutes, John.
Don't you feel better, though, like coming in with some of those power chords?
Yeah, it is.
It's better than that freshman thing.
It certainly is, John. I'll never play the verb pipe again when you appear on this show.
Nothing against the verb pipe, but, you know, come on. It's like you got to have a little bit of the fighting spirit here, man.
Well, as do the Democrats. And are they going to show fighting spirit? Are they going to triangulate to the right, John?
Yeah, they probably will. And if they do, I shouldn't say they probably will. There's a chance, there's a fear that they will. If they do, they'll lose. You know, I think it's just, you want to be very clear on this. This isn't a complicated calculus. They've done it in the past, and every time they've done it, they've lost, usually pretty badly. This time, if they lose, you know, they're going to set up a situation where, Biden will be a lame duck to the last 2 years of his presidency, and B, you know, you'll kind of open the space for a return of Trump. So it's disastrous if they get this wrong. And, you know, I would love to candy coat it or make it softer, make it easier to talk about, but that's unrealistic. There's nothing honest about a suggestion that Democrats can run to the center and make this thing work. If they run to the center, they'll suffer depressed turnout, no matter how much money they put into organizing and energy. There has to be some kind of message that draws people out. And that depressed turnout in states like Wisconsin will make it very, very hard for them to hold on to what they've got and to take Ron Johnson's Senate seat. On the other hand, if they nominate a progressive who's ready to fight as such and really ready to energize a multiracial, multiethnic coalition that, you know, especially speaks to young people who, you know, are folks that's a little bit harder to get to the polls, so you got to have a lot of messaging for them. If you do it right, you know, again, we'll just use the example of Wisconsin because it's such a classic battleground state. They've got a very good chance of holding on to the governorship, not by a lot. It'll be a hard fight. There's no question of that. And of taking a Senate seat. If they take the Wisconsin Senate seat, you know, there's a really good chance that, you know, they can hold the Senate. If they lose it, their chances of holding the Senate become, you know, go down exponentially. They've got the Pennsylvania race, which is somewhat hopeful, but, you know, this could turn out really badly. So it's on a knife's edge. We should be honest about the politics of the moment. And the way to go at it is economic, social, racial justice, high energy, and not letting Trump and the Republicans off the hook at any turn. And I would make COVID a very, very big issue in this regard. You know, look, I'd be very, very clear that, you know, we had a horrible response to COVID in 2020 under Donald Trump and the Republicans. It's been dramatically better in this last year. Not perfect, not everything it should be, but it's dramatically better. And because COVID's a lingering reality, I think Republicans should really ask that, or Democrats should ask that fundamental question. Do you want to hand the keys to the kingdom over to the people that let you and your family members get sick and die in 2020?
But there are a lot of people that are just fine with that, John. We see a diminishment in the number of people that declare they're Democrats. We also see a diminishment in the number of people that call themselves Republicans, but less of a diminishment. John, I'm worried about the midterms. Joe Biden, he ain't on the ballot this year. Obviously, the White House, the policies of the current president, always on the ballot. But I'm more worried about what happens in the state of Wisconsin if something like a red wave comes through. And Tony Evers loses the governorship. I mean, he is the goalie here in the state of Wisconsin, John. He doesn't have an agenda so much as playing defense. And without the goalie, man, we're Scroogied, aren't we, John?
Yeah, of course. His agenda comes down to one word, no. You know, and it's been very, very effective on a lot of turns. It hasn't been everything it should be, but, you know, and I wish he would use the bully pulpit a little more effectively. But the fact of the matter is that those vetoes have been absolutely critical. If you lose that ability to block the Republicans from doing what they want to do, you know, you end up in an incredibly ugly situation. There's just simply no question of that. And so what's at stake is huge. But history tells us that you don't win by warning people that, you know, oh, the other guys are bad players, you know, or, you know, something like that. You've got to have some sort of vision for why you seek power. And you've got to hold out the promise that if you get power, something good is going to come of it. That's why, you know, for Evers's reelection, it has to be linked very closely to the Senate race. Because, you know, what you want to do is, you know, deliver the message that winning the Senate race probably gives Democrats the power at the federal level to continue, you know, maybe even more power if they win the Wisconsin seat and the Pennsylvania seat to have an actual working majority, gives them the power to deliver for working class people, for people who are, you know, having some hard times here in Wisconsin and across the country. And so you get the people out, you know, particularly with a very positive, very forward-looking message as regards the Senate race, that's going to, you know, bleed over into the governor's race and hopefully give you the votes that you need to hold on to the governorship and the down-ballot races for attorney general and other posts as well. So there's a strategy for this. This isn't complicated stuff. It's the kind of thing you ought to be able to work out on the back of an envelope. But I can tell you that if they don't work it out on the back of an envelope, if they don't have the clarity on this thing, then all of their talk about data and all of their talk about, you know, mobilization, it's just not going to be sufficient. There's got to be an agenda, and it's got to be a bold agenda. It's most likely run through the Senate race with a lot of accountability talk that makes it clear to people that, you know, the Republicans who were in there did a lot of damage. I always remind people that Franklin Roosevelt was president for, you know, better part of a dozen years. And even at the end of his presidency in late 1944, early 1945, he was still talking about what a bad guy Herbert Hoover was. You know what I mean? He never let people forget the damage that the Republicans did. And Democrats are going to have to do that. So they got to have this combination of bold, progressive vision with a lot of accountability talk.
And how do we put Trump on the ballot, John, like 1 minute left? How do we keep the focus on the last guy?
No, it's very simple. If Rebecca Clayfish is the Republican nominee for governor of Wisconsin, you make it very clear that she would have overturned the results of the 2020 election and handed the state to the guy who lost. That puts him on the ballot because the truth of the matter is that both Rebecca Clayfish and Ron Johnson are more loyal to Donald Trump than they are to the people of Wisconsin. And they've made that absolutely unequivocally clear. So you can put Trump on the ballot. It's not a hard thing to do. But again, you don't just do that. You also have a vision for what you do when you get power. And so there has to be a message about, you know, yes, Trump, bad guy, did a lot of damage. Democrats, give him enough power to undo the damage Trump did.
I want some power, John. John Nichols from The Nation. Friend of mine, man, I'd settle for any sort of power, John, at this point. The veto pen, that would be enough. John
Turn
Nichols.
Turn the speakers up to 11.
Turn it up. Alice Cooper's
Crank
on.
Crank the volume, man. Crank the volume.
Thanks, John. More Devils. Hour 2 is next.